You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I started out teaching on Genesis 1 here about a week ago, I guess, 1:26, where it says, God said, let us make man, after our image and after our likeness. And then it says, then God said, and let them have dominion. And then it goes on down and says, over the fish and sea, the fowl there, birds there, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And it says, God bless them. God's original plan always was to give man dominion and to bless him. I mean, it was always about authority. It never has been about anything else, really. What Jesus came to do, we think about, he came to save us. Yes, he did save us from our sins because we were dominated by our sins. He came to save us from our sins, not just from the consequent or penalty of it, hell. He did save us from hell. We are going to heaven. But he came to save us from the slavery we're in, the servitude we're in, to restore to us authority, which we lost in Adam. God didn't make a bunch of people for him to rule over. God wasn't interested in making more people to rule over. God made us to extend his rule through us. You have to think about that. I'm not God, and we're not over God, but God's our ruler. He's our king, but he's not the king of servants. He's the king of kings, and he's not the lord of slaves. He's the lord of lords. Woohoo! Think about it. So that's what prayer is all about. When we pray, things begin to turn around and change. Why? We take authority over the situation. We pray God's kingdom come, his will be done. It's all about a kingdom, see? And we're in the kingdom of God now. And that's why it's important that we serve God and we live holy and live right, because God rules through us. Been said this way. I mentioned this in men's breakfast the other day. Without God, man cannot. Without man, God will not. You say, God can? Well, it's not a matter of whether he can. He just won't. He will not do it without you. He will not do it without me. Because he put us here in authority. Now, God owns it, but we rule it. You say, God rules. Through us. Yes, he does. Through us. He's still over us. He's still God. We're not over him. We never will be. That's not what we're saying. But we're here to rule. He gave man dominion. He said, let us make man. Let them have dominion. Let them have, he didn't say, let us make man and let us have dominion. He said, let us make man, let them have dominion. That's why the world's in such a mess. Not because of God, because of man.
That's true. Yes.
It's because of Adam's sin. That's why we're in the mess we're in, because of the sin of Adam, see? And so we're turning that thing around in the church, little by little, step by step. We'll never completely fix it, because it won't be fixed till Jesus comes back. But we can, in some form or fashion, a little bit in our world, my world and your world, we can make a difference. We can make a change. Amen? Hallelujah. But we were ordained by God to be blessed. Cursing wasn't in his plan. Cursing is not God's plan. God's not trying to teach you something. He's not trying to put something on you when things go wrong, when things go bad, when things come across your path. God is good. Devil's bad. Real simple. Good God, bad devil. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Now, you see that all through the Scripture that we're, I mean, all God's men and women of the hour, full of faith and power. They were always people that God made covenants with, that he blessed. It says he blessed Adam and Eve. They're the ones that messed up when they sinned. But he turned right around and blessed them as much as he could, even in that sinful state. And then he blessed Abraham, which we'll start out here with. Abraham, he blessed Isaac, he blessed Jacob, he blessed Joseph. I mean, it says, and God blessed them. And then he talks about the blessings that are upon Israel, the nation of Israel, in Deuteronomy the 28th chapter. All contingent, conditional, obviously, if we'll listen to him, if we'll follow his leading. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, do that which is right in his sight. Keep his commandments which he commands you this day. The Lord God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Deuteronomy 28 tells us that. And then it lists those blessings. Blessed shall you be. When you, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the fruit of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep, you'll be blessed going in, you'll be blessed going out, you're blessed in the storehouse, in the field, cause the rain to come down your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. Blessed! That's what God called us to be, is blessed. With a purpose. He blessed us so we can be a blessing. He blessed us so we can help others. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. So somebody's got to see here if we're going to help anybody that can't see. If we're ever going to help the poor, we've got to get prosperous. Now, you say, well, I'm just trying to get my bills paid. Well, let's get them paid and let's get beyond that. Well, I feel like I'm in the first grade. That's okay. Just don't stay there. Let's go to the second grade. Let's start where you are. Let's start believing God where you are. This is not to beat anybody on the head. My goodness, what are we talking about? We're talking about helping you get to the point where you can help others. But let's don't stop with just getting helped ourselves. Let's get the goal, the dream, the vision, the destiny that God has for us. He wants to make a blessing out of us. He blesses us so we can be a blessing. And really, when we pray about situations and think people to be healed and turn this around, turn that around for peace and all those things, why is that? It's because God wants us to have, He wants us blessed. He does not want us cursed. You've got to get that in your thinking. The devil will beat you on the head and beat you over the head and tell you that some reason or other you deserve this and you're not worth any of the blessing that God has for you. You're not worth a successful marriage. You're not worth having peace, healing, prosperity. You know, maybe for others, but not for you. Don't you buy that lie. You are a child of the living God. You've got to rethink yourself. Rethink about who you are. Rethink your, see yourself the way God sees you. I was sitting, I told this, I think, in the class, I was sitting out behind the house. I was digging a ditch, trying to find a sewer line. Anyway, I was out there. Well, actually, I was pickaxing and then cleaning it out. And I had my grandson with me. This is Saturday, I think. We were back behind the pond, and we were, you know, 200-300 feet from the house out there going out toward the pasture. And T, my grandson, it's Trenton, it's his nickname, T. Dylan's nickname is X. Clayton's nickname is Enrique Carlos Gonzalez. But anyway, that's what he told me. He said, that's his nickname for short. That's what we call it. But we were out there digging that ditch, and it was hot, and it was, you know, how hot it's been, how dry it's been. And I was telling Trenton we'd take breaks for a while and drink some water, you know, and he was helping me. And I said, you know, Trenton, I said, T, this is not right. You know this is not right. This heat, no rain. He said, that's not right. And I said, you know, God wants us to have rain. He said, that's right, Papa. He wants us to have rain. I said, it is God's will that we have rain. In fact, the Bible says that He would cause the rain to come down our land in its season. That's a blessing. He said, that's right. I said, you know, Elijah was a man just like us. The Bible tells us that in James 5, verse 17. It says, imagine Elijah was a man subject to like passions just like us. And he prayed that it rain not, and it rained not. Then he prayed that it rained, it rained. He said, that's right, Papa. I said, well, you know, T, we ought to pray right now and believe God for rain. And just call that rain down on this ground. I think it's just, we wait way too long on this. We ought to be praying and believing God for rain. He said, well, let's do it. So I just agreed with him right there. We called that rain down in Jesus' name. We're just like Elijah, even more so. We got a new covenant, hallelujah. So we call that rain down in the name of Jesus, and we say it's done in Jesus' name. So we went back to digging. And I mean, what was it? When did it? Monday, the bottom fell out. So I called T up. I was Cattle Mills somewhere. I think we were in Cattle Mills, Butch Bruton. Over in Cattle Mills, and I called T up. I said, hey, is it raining over here? He said, sure is, Papa. And it's raining hard. And it's exactly what we prayed for. Just 2 days ago, we prayed for that. But I was explaining to him all that time. We don't have to do a war dance, or rain dance, excuse me. Well, you know, we just need to believe God. It's part of the blessing. Hello. I'm not saying every time rain's going to happen right away, but I tell you what, it is God's will that it happens. Amen. And we put off way too long things before we pray, before we believe, before we stand in faith. And I wasn't the only one praying. I know there's a lot of other people praying. The point I'm making is that I know from God's word what His will is for my life and what blessing, rain is a blessing. And I don't believe we're done yet. Amen? We've got more rain coming in the name of Jesus. Okay, Genesis 12. You found it? I want to get through this real quick because I want to get past this point I've already been to. Oh, y'all are loving it. Just stay with me. Genesis 12. I read this out of the New King James Version. Now the Lord, 12th chapter, first verse. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. See, you've got to get out of your thinking, for one thing, if you've been raised wrong. I hope you're raised right. But in Abraham's case, he wasn't raised right. His parents and his family worshipped other gods. The Bible tells us that in Joshua chapter 14 tells us that. So he had to get out of his thinking. Maybe you were raised wrong. Get out of that wrong thinking. How? Get into biblical thinking, Bible thinking. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many of you want to Prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in your life. Who doesn't want that? The only way you can prove it is to renew your mind, because you don't know what it is until you change the way you've been thinking. See, going into a situation or a problem with the same kind of thinking that created the problem is not going to get you out of the problem. At some point, you've got to change your thinking. Hello? At some point, you've got to look in the mirror and say, hey, we have found the enemy. He is us. We've been saying the wrong thing. We've been praying the wrong thing. We've been doing the wrong thing. Lord, give me wisdom. Tell me how to do something different and think differently here. Amen? And that's why we have the Bible, so we can think differently. And that's why he told me, he said, get out of that country. Get out of your kindred. Come on, I want to show you something you hadn't seen before. I want to show you another land. And then he says this in the second verse, I will make you, it's a sevenfold blessing here. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I love that. That's the ultimate end of all blessing. God blesses us so we can be a blessing. Yeah. Amen. And the better we serve God, and the more we're a witness and light and example of His love and His grace and so on and so forth, the more we're going to help others. It's always about others, isn't it? I think about all the people that have been touched because I chose to serve God. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just me getting saved. God cared about me. He wanted me saved. But there were so many others in me. And there's so many others in you. There's your neighbors. There's your friends. There's your relatives. Your husband, your wife, your children. My God, just your children. You know, I remember when God was dealing with me to get saved, dealing with me to get saved in 1975 in Deer Park, Texas, in Chateau Creole Apartments. I was working at Upjohn Chemical. And I came home. My foreman was witnessing to me every day, just witnessed to me every day. And I just gave him, I was a terror for somebody to witness to. I was a terror. I'm not the kind of guy you want to start witnessing to at that time. I was not the kind of, I mean, I was in drugs and jails and blatantly didn't believe in God, cussed God in front of the guy, and just to see him turn red and walk off. I mean, I did all that. That's who I was before I met Jesus. You can't picture that now. I can't picture that now. But I was somebody else. That old man died. But he kept witnessing to me, ministering to me. And finally got to the point where I started to believe there was a God. That was the first step, you know. Started to believe there was a God. Started thinking maybe there is a God, you know. And then I started thinking, well, maybe there's a heaven and a hell. And I got to the point where I believe there was a heaven and a hell. And then I got to the point, well, if I go to hell, I'll go to hell. You know, I can handle that. I'm a big guy. Big idiot. But anyway, you know. And I was sitting at the table in those apartments one night. And little Chris was about a year old, a little over a year old. You saw him up there playing the drums now. He's 34 now. He was sitting there and he had peanut butter on his head or something. I don't know. He had something all in his hair, you know. I was sitting there having this conversation with myself. It was actually with God and I didn't know it. And I was saying, you know, if I go to hell, I can go to hell. I can handle that. And then deep down in my spirit, didn't know it then, I know it now. Looking back, I understood completely what it was. It was the voice of God. And he says, yeah, you can go to hell. What about him? What if he goes to hell? And it was a turning point. It really was. I started really considering turning my life over to God after that. I began to realize that there was more than me in me. There were others in me. Whew. So I stand here today now and say, I turn my life over to Jesus and committed my life to the Lord, and He's blessed me. Chris is serving God now. He's preaching now. He's preaching another time. Here's Jonathan right here. Jonathan wasn't even around then. He wasn't even a twinkle in our eye. He was our fifth child. He's Caboose Williams. End of the line. But he's serving God now because I chose to serve God. Because Brenda chose to serve God. See, there's always somebody else here. You say, why do you want to be blessed for it? Because there's always somebody else that needs you to be blessed. They need your ability to help them. In whatever case it may be, whether it's peace or whatever, you know, whether it's healing or whether it's being healthy, whether it's being prosperous or whatever the case may be. See, it's not about just you getting it yourself. It's not about just being Jimmy and I'll take all you give me. It's about I want more so I can help others. Amen. Our church is a prosperous church, but I'll tell you what, it's prosperous because we give. Because we got big dreams. We got people we want to bless and help. We want to reach out. We want to reach the world. We're reaching nations and missionaries all around the world. And we're reaching out to our community with Hallelujah Night and a television channel that we're doing 24 hours a day. And we're doing what? Now with angel food. We're starting angel food ministry and so on and so forth. But the more we are blessed, the more influence we have, the more ability we have to reach others. We want to grow. Woo! Okay, so, not spend a lot of time reviewing here. It says here, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make you your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you, and in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed.
That's me.
Man, that's me. I like that, Mo. That's me. I've got the blessing of Abraham on me. It's what Jesus died that the blessing of Abraham might come on me. Hallelujah. And I'm blessed with faithful Abraham, the Bible says in Galatians 3, verse 8 and 9. It tells me I'm blessed with him. I got that same blessing. Nations are blessed in me. People are blessed in me. There's people in me waiting to be blessed. Woo, that's good stuff. I got to read this out of the Amplified. That's the reason I went back over this. Amplified says in the second verse. Oh, y'all better. You got seatbelts on because this is really pretty good. Okay. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. I like that. Well, he sure is lucky. No, we're not lucky. Well, Lady Luck was with me that time. No, we don't believe in Lady Luck. We believe in Father's favors.
Well, amen. Hallelujah.
Father's favors. We are highly favored. I don't need luck. I need favor. That's what grace is. See, that's what really prosperity comes from, is just having the favor of God, the favor of God on us. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing dispensing goods to others. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Third verse says, Amplified, and I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses you or uses insolent language toward you, in you all the families and kindred of the earth will be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves.
Wow.
That's wow, good. Wow. That's Amplified. Just louder. A little louder, isn't it? By you they will bless themselves. It really does come down to that, because when the blessing comes on us, it's something we've done in line with His Word, isn't it? It's when we've woken up and realized, hey, we can make a difference here. I don't have to put up with this. I can believe God. I can pray. I can stand on the Word. I can do this. I can do that. I can do that. It really comes down to God doing something through you. That saying I said earlier, without God, you cannot. But without you, God will not. Amen? Turn over to Psalms 1. These are very familiar scriptures. I mean, these are just staple scriptures for us as Christians. But I want you to notice the term blessing and what's connected with it, because we're talking about being blessed. Everybody say, I am blessed. And I am a blessing. All right. Actually, you're blessed to be a blessing. That's what you're blessed to be. But you can't get to that blessing part unless you get blessed first. So it's all part of the package. Amen. It's kind of like Brother Osteen used to always say about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, well, you know, people say, do you have to speak in tongues to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? He said, well, it's just part of the package. It's like a pair of shoes. The tongues come with it. You know, just part of the... Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed. Now, see, he's going to describe for you what a blessed man is. And he writes down some things that this man does that distinguishes him from people that aren't blessed. Y'all catching that? So if you do these things, if you meet these requirements, then you'll be blessed. Now, we already said we're blessed. That's potential. That's probably God's will, His destiny for us. It doesn't always mean we'll experience it. And you know, you don't always experience the blessing. And it's not God's fault. Somewhere down the line, we just dropped the ball. But I'm saying, let's pick it back up again. Hallelujah. Get back up on that horse and ride it again. Don't let that horse throw you and determine you're just not going to ride a horse again. Come on, get back up on the horse. Okay. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, there's some good wisdom there. You're not going to get blessed by listening to the world. You're not going to walk in the blessing of God if you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, if you're listening to the world and what they have to say, if you're going the way the world goes. Not going to happen. If you're walking in their path, if you're sitting in their, if you're scornful and critical about everybody. Critics are a dime a dozen. Are you kidding? Those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. Everybody can build a better mousetrap. Everybody can do something better, but they're not. But there's nobody out there doing it except the guy they're all criticizing. Hello. Get away from criticism. Don't be critical. Just run your race. Amen. We get so wrapped up in criticizing everybody and woulda, shoulda, coulda, if I did it, I'd done this. And people talk like that. We call them, I went blank on the quarterbacks. Armchair quarterback, yeah. Thank you. I just went blank. Had a mind slip. Where am I? Armchair quarterbacks. Backseat drivers. Hello. I won't get into that one. But anyway. No. Get out there and do. Don't be scornful. Don't be critical. His delight. Everybody say his. His is the blessed man. Okay. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Wow. It's in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. I love that. The word meditate, incidentally, is the Hebrew word haggah. Everybody say haggah. Okay. You're not clearing your throat. That actually is a Hebrew word. H-A-G-A, haggah. And that actually means to speak to oneself. To meditate is to converse and speak. It's translated speak many times in the Old Testament. And so what he's saying here is that his delight, this blessed man, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he speak to himself day and night. In other words, he doesn't talk to himself the problem. He talks to himself the word. He's speaking the word over himself. He's like Abraham over there saying what God says. I'm blessed, hallelujah, and I am a blessing. My name is going to be great, and I'm going to bless others. And see, he's saying what God says about him. You will never be blessed until you learn to talk to yourself the word. As long as you're talking the counsel of the ungodly, as long as you're walking the path of the sinner, sitting in the seat of the scornful, you're not going to be blessed. But if you delight in God's word and you take God's word and you talk to yourself the word, well, praise God, I am blessed. I can't be cursed. The Bible says one to chase 1,000, two to put 10,000 to flight. Praise God, I believe that I can do this, that I win, I don't lose. God's for me and God before me, who can be against me? Praise God, he delights in my prosperity. He takes pleasure in my prosperity. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I am blessed.
Amen.
Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself the word. You say, well, that's just crazy. Well, you've been saying all that other stuff to yourself. I don't guess I'm ever going to make it. Me and gas just seem like it's going to go to $7. You watch, it's going to go to $7 a gallon. Watch, it's going to go to $7 a gallon. First of all, I don't care if it goes $7 a gallon. Secondly, I'll never say that to start with. But it doesn't matter what it goes to. My God supplies all my need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the blessed man, his delight's in the law. It's not in the news. The CNN. Lord help us. His delight's in the law of the Lord.
Right.
Why are we so blessed? Because we know what God says about it. I used to not know what God said. I used to not have this recourse. I used to not have this ability or have this option. I used to have to go with everything I saw and everything I felt. I used to not have any invisible means of support. So when all the visible means disappeared, I had nothing to hold on to. But praise God, I have some invisible means of support. And I look not to things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, visible, are temporary. They're changeable. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal.
Amen.
They're concrete. They're solid. They never change.
Amen.
And one thing never changes. My God will always supply my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That doesn't change. That doesn't change with oil prices. It doesn't change with who's in the presidency. It doesn't change. Are you kidding? That never changes. Now, if you're going to be blessed, you've got to delight in the word. See a connection here. His delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate or talk to himself day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When it's all dry and dried up, and You know, I've got some water to plant. I'm planted by some water. The water of God's word, amen. By the rivers of water. And it says that he brings forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Yeah.
When everybody else is failing, he is prospering.
Amen.
1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you.
Yes. Yes.
Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord the Most High your habitation. Psalm 91 tells us that. Psalms, look at Psalms 34. I'm just going to run through a few scriptures here. I want to help you. I want to bless you. So you can be a lesson. How many of you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Now, I know a lot of times we'll read stuff like this and we'll say, I don't know about all that. Preacher, what are you saying? Well, I'm not really saying anything. I'm just reading the Bible here. I'm just reading Scripture. Maybe you didn't know it was there, but it's there. It's actually in here. Now, you have to make a decision whether you believe it or not. That is your choice, whether you believe it or not. And a lot of people don't, and that's fine. They don't have to. You know, there's all kinds of options out here. The Bible tells you how you can go under if you want to go under. Sure, tells Zach how to do it. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Go ahead. Stay in the way of the sinner. Yeah, you can do that. You can go under if you want to do that, but God doesn't want that. God wants you to go over. God wants you to be blessed. Now, you're going to have to make some changes, who you hang around with, what you say about yourself, what you say about your job, your marriage, and so on and so forth. And you say, well, how do I know what to say? You've got to get in the Bible, find out what to say. But if you'll get in here, you'll find out what to say. You'll find out you can make it. I started saying things different over my family and over my kids and over our endeavors, our jobs, and so on and so forth. When I became a Christian, I started talking different. I started hanging around different people when I got saved. Hello. I started praying about things. I never did that before when I got saved. I started calling on God to help me. I never did that before. I used to think I got myself in the mess, I could get myself out of the mess. Little did I realize I was the mess.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. How insane is that? Now, come on. That is the wisdom of the world. I've heard guys, grown men, say that to me. Bless God, I got myself in this mess, I'll get myself out. Wait a minute. Hold on. You got yourself in it. How are you going to get yourself out of it? You are the problem. Are you with me? You need some help. I won't go there, but you know, guys, we got a problem with this thing, I'm telling you. You know we do, this macho thing we got going here. And I'm not about being a wimp at all. I'm no at all. No. I believe in being a man. I believe in being a husband. I believe in being a father and being a good witness and all those things and being strong. But I think a lot of this macho stuff just pride. Won't stop and get directions. Wife begging you to pull over. And I'll find it. An hour later, you're still circling the city, you know. Yeah. Yeah, men, I better quit. Psalms 34, found it. Let's move on rather quickly here. Won't get the instructions out trying to put the thing. I don't need those instructions. Get that manual out of here. I can put this thing together. Then you wind up with all these extra parts when it's all over. Don't know where they go. Thing doesn't work right. Okay. Well, see, here's the manual right here for life right here. We don't consult it. We don't pray. We don't seek God because, hey, we're men. Well, we don't need that. And that's why we're so messed up. See, we've got to get the manual out, find out how we should live, what kind of a husband we're supposed to be, what kind of man we're supposed to be. You know, you can't shoot everybody. Come on, guys. I know John Wayne did it. God bless John Wayne. I love John Wayne. But, you know, movies, you shoot everybody, and that's, hey, no problem. Got a problem, somebody shoot them. But life doesn't work that way. You can't shoot everybody. Sometimes you have to pray, you have to forgive, you have to repent. What, Psalm 34, did I tell you to turn there? I better quit. I think I'm needing this. I'm just thinking about some situation. Psalm 34, 8th verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Well, that's good. Everybody say, I'm blessed. I'll tell you how you operate in blessings, how you can operate in being blessed. Trust God. In fact, it's when you don't trust, that's when you lose the blessing, isn't it? You start worrying about a situation, you start laying awake at night about it, your blood pressure gets up, you know, you're trying to solve that thing yourself and you hadn't turned it over to the Lord, you hadn't trusted God, you're not trusting God, and it's eating you alive. It's tearing you up. Because you think you can fix it without God. You can't fix anything without God. But with God, you can fix it. And if you want to really be blessed, you've got to trust Him. That blessed man in Psalms 1, he was a man that delighted in God's Word. Delighted in it, talked it all the time, talked it to himself. This blessed man right here is a man that trusted God. Blessing comes from believing what God says. See, to trust Him, how do you trust Him? You got to know what He says and trust that He will do it. Y'all get it? So there's a lot more involved here. You say, well, I'm just trusting God. What do you trust Him to do? Oh, I don't know. I'm just trusting Him. No, 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 no. He's saying you trust in Him for something He said He would do.
Yeah.
So you have to know what He said He would do before you could trust Him to do it. So you'd have to look in the Bible and find out what that was, right? You'd have to know what the Word says first about your situation in order for you to really trust Him. So there again, goes back to the Word again, doesn't it? Goes back to us finding it, delighting in it, and talking it to ourselves and trusting God that He will do what He says. Do you know what God says about your situation? That's a good question. God has a lot to say about your situation. It has a lot to say about marriage, about health and healing, about wealth and prosperity, about peace, about holy living, all those kinds of things. He has a lot to say about that. And you know, you've got to learn to trust Him. If you will, you'll be blessed. Because that's where blessing comes from. Notice what it goes on to say. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack for any good thing. Oh, glory. Let me redamnify it on this one. I'm going to get my cheaters out here. 10th verse where it says that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack for any good thing. The Amplified says those who seek, inquire, and require of the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of His Word. None of them shall lack any beneficial thing. I got to read that again. That's too good, isn't it? Those who seek, inquire, and require. In other words, we're not demanding of God per se, but we do require that we need what God has. And we're going to ask God to do what He said He would do. We're going to require that. Okay? They who seek, inquire of, and require the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of His Word. We found a promise. We're going to ask. We're going to inquire. And then we're going to require. We're going to inquire of the Lord and see what He says. And then we're going to require by believing what He says. Amen? And because we have a need here, and on the basis of the authority of His Word, He said He'd meet it, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. See, it comes back to delighting in the Word. I'm blessed because I delight in His Word. I delight in His Word and I believe His Word. Okay, turn to Psalms 112. Let me move quickly here because I've got this helping you. Oh, you're helping us now. You're helping us. Come on. Psalms 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. There it is again. Who's blessed? The man that delights greatly in His commandments. I'm blessed because I know what God says. I'm blessed because I delight in His promises. Oh, news comes, news goes. Some good, some bad. But God's Word's always the same. And I delight in His Word. Therefore, I'm blessed. He doesn't change. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Third verse, wealth and riches will be in His house. And His righteousness endures forever. Wealth and riches. Now see, God's not against prosperity. He's against you being greedy and misusing and abusing it. But He's very much for you prospering and being blessed. We couldn't give $126,000 to missions last year if we didn't believe in prosperity. We couldn't build a gymnasium debt-free if we didn't believe in prosperity. Right. We couldn't be broadcasting on television 24 hours a day, some teaching, some programs, ours here in the church, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Joyce Meyer, different ones. We couldn't do all that if we didn't believe in prosperity. We couldn't put on Hallelujah Night and reach 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people every year free free hot dogs, free Coke, free candy, pass out tracts, bring a Christian environment into what used to be a demonic environment, as it were. Take over a holiday, Halloween, and call it Hallelujah Night. We couldn't do that if we didn't believe in prosperity. Think about it. And on and on and on. The missions that we support, all the things that go on, the angel food that we're going to be doing, that's going to take time to do that. Ted's taking that ministry over. It takes a lot of time to do that. He's got to pick all that up. We've got to take orders during the week before, you know, and we're going to pass out tracts and minister to some of those people. We're going to turn that into a ministry. But we couldn't do that if we didn't have a place here to do it and people to do it. We didn't believe in prosperity. That's prosperity with a purpose. That's turning gold into souls. God does want to bless you. There's nothing wrong with you having a nice house, nice car, money in the bank. Praise God. If you're a giver, you're the one He wants to bless. If you delight in His commandments and His word, wealth and riches will be in His house. His righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. Seventh verse, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast or fixed, trusting in the Lord. Wow. Isn't that good? Man, turn to Luke. Okay, give me just a couple more minutes. I'll close this out. Oh, you're helping me.
Amen.
I remember I was preaching one time. This guy was at Lakewood Church in Houston years ago. And I was preaching. This one guy kept saying, "Don't hang up now." He said it several times too, you know. "Oh, don't hang up now." I finally told him, I said, "I won't be hanging up for about another 5 minutes, all right?" So, because I wanted to finish my message. I appreciate him helping me, you know, but after a while it was a... Okay, Luke 1. I preached in some churches where I didn't want to take a breath. I'm afraid they'd take over. They stand up in the chair and wave at you. "Woohoo! Yeah, preach it! Oh, that's good stuff! Yeah!" You know, just, I mean, they're in the middle of it. "Uh-huh! Oh, yeah." You know, like, okay. All right, y'all ready? Luke 1, 45. This is Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, greeting her as she comes in. She says something here in the 45th verse. "Blessed is she who believed," Luke 1, 45. "Blessed is she who believed," speaking of Mary, "for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." King James says there will be a performance of those things. But the point is, why was she blessed? Because she believed. Because she believed. Because she believed what? The word. She believed what Gabriel told her. "The Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. That thing that will be born of you shall be of the Holy Ghost." Amen. He told her, and he said, "Nothing shall be impossible with God." And she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." So that 45th verse says, blessed. You're blessed when you believe. You know what? You're not blessed if you don't believe. If you want to walk in the blessing of God, it's real simple. It's just basic. It's almost kindergarten stuff, but we still have to hear it over and over and over. You are blessed when you believe God. If you don't believe God or trust God, although God wants you blessed and this is your destiny to be blessed, you won't experience it, though, if you don't believe it. Because you're blessed if you believe. And obviously, believe what? Believe His Word. And that obviously tells us we must know what His Word is. We have to find it out. Look in the Scripture. Find out what God says. And you know, when you find it, believe it. And be blessed. Amen? When you find it, believe it and be blessed. Because this is God's will, that you be blessed. So you can be a blessing to others. Okay, 12th chapter. I'm just about done here. Turn over to Luke 11. This is interesting. They came up to Jesus and said this. It happened, 27th verse, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the woman that bore you in the breast which nursed you,'" speaking of Mary, that she's blessed. And she was blessed, but notice what he said after that. He said, "More than that, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it."
Yeah.
You say, "Well, that was Mary." Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus turned right around and said, "More than that." Yes, God blessed Mary, no question, because she believed. But you know what? He'll bless you if you believe too. He says more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. John 20, my last ultimate verse for the night that I'm going to turn to and read. John 20. Remember Thomas? Old Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas did get in faith. You know, he was a hard case, but God loved him. He worked with him, and you know, and he finally, even him saying, "Lord, I ain't gonna believe. I don't believe Jesus risen from the dead unless I put my finger in the side or in his hand." Well, sure enough, Jesus appeared to him and says, "Thomas, come over here and put your finger in my side and my hand. Don't be faithless, but believing." Well, that's a command to all of us. Don't be faithless. Be believing. Amen. But anyway, he says this. Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed."
Amen.
Where's the blessing come from? It comes from believing. And obviously something in particular, amen? The Word. You say, "Well, I just don't see any difference here." Well, the Word says something. I believe it no matter whether I see it or not. And I'm blessed because I believe. And don't see. Because what I do see will change. You'll get it. It will change. It'll have to change. It's changeable. That's what it is. Everything seems changeable. Everything you see changes. God never changes. If I put God's Word on that changeable thing, if I put the immovable on the movable will move. And the unmovable will take its place.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. I'm blessed. How about you?
Yeah.
And I'm blessed to be a blessing. Yeah. So get back in faith. Get in. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're going through. I know we all go through different things, and it's varied in this life we live in. You may be in some turmoil about something. It may be bills. It may be a marriage. It may be family. It could be physical. It could be any number of things. I challenge you to get in the Word and find out what God says about it. Put the Word of God on it.
Yeah.
If you'll put the Word of God on it, and believe God and trust God, you'll be blessed.
Yeah.
When everybody else around you living in a curse, you'd be living in a blessing. And the blessing will come on you, overtake you.